We now know our first two UEFA Champions League semi-finalists after another absorbing night of action. Manchester United travelled to Barcelona looking for another Camp Nou miracle. Instead, they were mauled by Messi and co. He's got room, he hits the shot and scores! It's a brilliant goal by Lionel Messi! Barcelona take the lead! Messi shoots again and it goes straight through David De Gea and into the back of the net! Coutinho goes for goal! Juventus, meanwhile, were aiming to reach the semi-finals for the third time in 5 years. Ajax, however, had other ideas.
De Ligt with a header! Brilliant! Absolutely wonderful Ajax goal! He's met that so well! And Matthijs De Ligt, the 19-year-old captain of Ajax, with a goal worthy of any captain of any side!
So Barca and Ajax are the first two sides through to the last four. We'll have all the best analysis and reaction from both second legs. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by the European football expert, Chris Parrott. Chris, we've seen something truly special tonight from Ajax. You could call it a coming-of-age performance, but they really did that at Real Madrid earlier this season.
They did. They're now knocked out the holders and many people's favourites with away victories in the second leg. And all this after Ronaldo gave Juventus the lead. They've thrilled. They are such a fantastic team to watch. They are completely fearless. And they were deserved winners. Juventus could not handle them. They missed three or four gilt-edged chances as well as the two goals they scored. And they deservedly through to the semi-finals for the first time in 22 years.
Staggeringly good. A reminder of how the second legs of tonight's quarter-final ties finished. Barcelona 3, Manchester United 0, 4-0 on aggregate. Juventus 1, Ajax 2, 3-2 the aggregate win for Ajax. And we'll talk in depth about that game very shortly, but let's begin with the tie at the Camp Nou, where Manchester United started the second leg 1-0 down to Barca. Steve Wilson describes the action.
Beautiful ball. Rashford is in behind and he's hit the crossbar. Manchester United have hit the crossbar after 34 seconds. Messi skips inside Fred. He's got room. He hits the shot and scores. It's a brilliant goal by Lionel Messi. Barcelona take the lead. 15 minutes played. Messi picks up the loose ball and attacks Jones and shoots again. And it goes straight through David De Gea and into the back of the net. And it's an extraordinary error by the Spanish number one goalkeeper on Spanish soil.
Oh, it's a wonderful ball to Jordi Alba. First time plays it back into Coutinho. Coutinho goes for goal. What a strike by Philippe Coutinho. It's absolutely brilliant. Coutinho sends Barcelona into the semi-finals of the Champions League.
That was the goal that put it beyond doubt. Steve Wilson joins us now. Steve, how do you assess what Barcelona did tonight at the Camp Nou?
Well, they thoroughly outplayed Manchester United in the end, Rob. But as whoever their semi-final opponents study Barcelona for chinks of optimism when they come to the last four, they will look at that first couple of minutes of this second leg of the quarter-final when they were stuck in the blocks and Manchester United had two great chances to open the scoring. But once Barcelona had got into their stride, Manchester United was simply no match for them collectively and, of course, individually, no match for Lionel Messi, who was quite brilliant. His first goal was exceptional. His second was an awful mistake by David De Gea. No hiding place for De Gea from that, I'm afraid. And even though Manchester United gamely went for it in the second half, there was a quite beautiful third Barca goal, started by Messi with a glorious pass, helped on deftly by Jordi Alba and finished in trademark fashion by Philippe Coutinho. The home crowd at the Camp Nou absolutely loved it, and they can also, I can tell you, absolutely loved the news coming through from Turin, where their bête noire, Cristiano Ronaldo, and his side of Juventus were being beaten. The roar that greeted Ajax's second goal was almost as loud as those which had greeted Barcelona's three goals.
They might not think that when they see the way Ajax have played this season, Steve, but 2015, the last semi-final for Barcelona, they've ended their recent quarter-final hoodoo, and Messi again was the star of the show. How good is this Barcelona team? Or did they get past a Manchester United team, perhaps not a vintage Manchester United team?
Well, I think probably you would say that neither Barcelona nor perhaps Manchester United are quite as good as some of their previous incarnations when they played each other, of course, in the two finals in 2009 and 2011. Certainly, I don't think Barcelona this era is quite as good as the 2011 era. I don't think many people would argue with that, but they are an exceptionally good side. And they have Lionel Messi, and they have Suarez and Coutinho and Dembele, who got on late on. They were much, much too good for Manchester United tonight. But I would imagine if it is Liverpool who go through, and you know that is still quite a big if, though Liverpool will be favourites to progress beyond Porto. You would imagine that Liverpool would fancy themselves to make it tighter, to score goals against Barcelona, maybe to defend better against them. Certainly they'd want to avoid the kind of error that led to Messi's second goal from De Gea. And, you know, Liverpool will not feel that facing Barcelona is simply a case of going through the motions of a hopeless task.
Steve, I know it's been a bit of an issue for Barcelona to sign players of the required standard to get into the first team, and that's even been an issue with Coutinho to an extent, with some of the comments about him in Spain currently. But I'd point to two players right now in Clement Longley and Artur, who, especially Artur, who look born Barcelona men in that team.
Artur was terrific, yeah. Absolutely exceptional. I mean, he is playing alongside Busquets and Rakitic in the three that played today, yeah. which is going to help, obviously. He's 22 years old, experiencing European football, football on the continent of Europe for the first time, having signed for Barca from Grêmio, of course, in Brazil. And he looks to the manner born. He has gone straight into the top of the game in Europe, and he looks absolutely at home. I thought he was tremendous today, and when he came off quite late on so Arturo Vidal could stretch his legs, he got and earned a standing ovation from most of the 96,000 inside the Camp Nou. When Coutinho went off, when he scored that goal, you know, this relationship, fractious relationship with the Barca fans will be scrutinised again. As he scored the goal, in the celebrations, he stood and put his fingers in his ears and shut his eyes, almost to say, "I can't hear you." When he came off, there was a good ovation for Coutinho, but no response to the crowd at all from him, no applauding the crowd as he came off the pitch. And you cannot help but feel that there is still some work to do before Philippe Coutinho is a favourite of the Barcelona crowd, despite the majestic goal that he scored tonight. It was a brilliant piece of Coutinho impudence and brilliance. But you still feel that, he's not loved. He's not loved at the Camp Nou in the way that he feels he should be.
Very interesting. I guess Rob mentioned there some of the signings. We can probably throw Ousmane Dembélé in there. At times has sparkled, but maybe not, you know, completely run games like they would have hoped. But all of a sudden, Ernesto Valverde seems to have a bit of a problem, because now he's got Coutinho potentially performing and Dembélé. That's not a bad conundrum to have alongside Suarez and Messi, is it?
No, absolutely. And, Dembélé has certainly improved, I think, from when he first came to the club. But yes, I suppose if you look at Barcelona in the sort of medium term, you would say that they are still very reliant upon Pique and upon Jordi Alba and upon Rakitic and upon Suarez and upon Lionel Messi. And you know, all those players, brilliant though they all still are, you know, have more years behind them than they have ahead of them, Chris.
Steve, it's at the end of the European campaign for Manchester United, and we wait to see if they will qualify for the Champions League at the back end of this season. But what have you made of their campaign so far? Of course, I mean, going into this tie overall, no fully fit Matic, sure suspended second leg, some players come back from injury first leg. I think we knew perhaps this was the end of the road for them.
It always looked likely. I think their campaign as a whole has been a little bit mixed, hasn't it, really? I mean, the outstanding result of the group stage was to beat Juventus in Turin, which obviously is something that no one else had done until Ajax did this evening. But they lost at home to Juve. They weren't great at home to Young Boys. They weren't great in either game against Valencia, drawing at home and losing away. The win over PSG is hard to judge because, you know, there was certainly a large slice of good fortune for Manchester United in the second leg. But nonetheless, they went to Paris Saint-Germain and won in the Parc des Princes. Take nothing away from them. But over the two games against Barcelona, they were second best by no small degree. And four goals over the two games, you would struggle to make any argument that that flatters Barcelona.
Steve, we'll come back to you for a further reaction to Barcelona 3, Manchester United 0, 4-0 on aggregate in the end to the reigning Liga champions, the side top of La Liga currently, who are hoping to win the Champions League for the first time since 2015. Next, we go to Turin, where Juventus hosted Ajax with the scores level at 1-1 from the first leg, of course. John Bradley saw this one.
Pjanic will take Ronaldo, free header, 1-0.
You just do not allow that amount of space in the penalty area to Cristiano Ronaldo, who sprints away with his fist in the air, so easy, 7 metres out at the near post, the free header from the corner, Juventus 1, Ajax 0. Well, that breaks nicely, and it's in, it's 1-1, Donny van de Beek, the initial effort was blocked, and it broke so kindly in the penalty area, and Ajax have trailed for a matter of minutes. It's a goal for the visitors. De Ligt with a header. Brilliant. Absolutely wonderful Ajax goal. He's met that so well. And Matthijs De Ligt, the 19-year-old captain of Ajax, with a goal worthy of any captain of any side. A marvellous moment for the teenager. A marvellous moment for Ajax. And they're at it yet again, just like in Madrid. Juventus 1, Ajax 2.
3-2 the aggregate scoreline. John Bradley, they got it done.
As we said, they're at it just like they were in Madrid. You know, we wondered after that first, like when they were the better side against Juventus, whether they'd blown their chance. But this side is young and exuberant, but most of all, it's fearless. Fazed by nothing. And they went into the Juventus Stadium and they were the better side throughout the game. It took a long time to come to life, the game, 20 minutes or so when Ajax created the first chance. They were caught cold by Juventus' goal, but they galvanised themselves and they restarted and they got their equaliser with a little bit of luck. ZX effort was going well wide when it broke to Donny van de Beek, but they never looked back from that. And the second half, the 30 minutes at the start of the second half are as good, well, I'd say the best 30 minutes I've seen from any team anywhere this season. They were absolutely brilliant.
Is it naivety? Is it bravery? Why are they able to do this as they did at Real Madrid when they were 4-1 away? What is it?
I was covering Leeds in 2001 when they went to the semi-final and they lost to Valencia. And in that run, they played Barcelona, they played Real Madrid, they played Lazio, they played AC Milan. And they went into every game not caring who they were playing because they thought, we've got a team that's so together, we've grown up together, we know each other inside out, and we don't care who they are, we're gonna take you on and beat you. And I thought that's exactly what I saw from Ajax and I've seen from them in the competition. They've grown up together, from playing in that Europa League final to developing together, and they love each other and there's a real brotherhood amongst them. And I think that what we're seeing here is this year's very special young team in the Champions League. And they deserve to win just like they deserve to win in Madrid. It's a special night for them. I think it's a special Champions League night.
This is them celebrating in the changing rooms right now after that win in Turin. They're having a good time. clearly, and they're all up and bouncing up and down, chanting a few moments ago, high-fiving each other in the much smaller away dressing room for the visiting side.
Dusan Tadic is a very good footballer. He's not quite as good as dancing, but we'll let him off. Can I just say, though,
it's 25 minutes since the game ended. They've only just got in the dressing room because they've been on the field with the fans until now. So, you know, just an indication. They've stayed out on the field throughout, celebrating, and they're really enjoying this. But they'll knuckle down and they'll think, you know, we don't care, Manchester City or Tottenham. Yeah. We're not scared.
Yeah, and they did this at the Bernabeu as well. Fantastic scenes. And their fans are a huge help. But what's amazing is that they've won away, I think, both against Juventus and Real Madrid. And
having not won the first leg.
Having not won the first leg, but having missed loads of chances, which is a bit of a theme. But we mentioned in commentary, it's because they don't play with an out-and-out striker, I think. They play with this front three of Tadic, Neres and Ziyech, which no one can get near. And you saw again tonight that the talent of De Jong and Van der Beek in midfield was just too good for Juventus, who looked a little blunt.
They played with the front four in this game. Yep. They were so confident that in the end you had three up and Van der Beek was playing up front with them. They were so on top in midfield.
He was the one breaking into the box.
Yeah,
at the time,
De Jong and Schöne had such a firm grip on Juventus in the middle of the park that Van der Beek could go and play a little higher and be the link man, and it worked so well for them.
There was a stage this season and under Ten Hag when Van der Beek wasn't in the first 11 and you thought, he's such a talent, surely he will, and he has. And remember this Ajax team, when did they start their Champions League journey?
Three qualifying rounds, wasn't it, they had to get
to. First team ever to get to this stage from
25th
that.
Of July against Sturm Graz, and here we are in the middle of...
Wasn't that just after the World Cup?
Yeah.
Extraordinary. They're going to play like this. I mean, I'm thinking back to the Bayern game now. So they've scored 9 goals in total in visits to Bayern, Juve and Real Madrid. And
it's
that's
three at home
missing.
Against Bayern, wasn't it?
Three at home against Bayern, of course. This is an extraordinary group of players. Frankie de Jong, we know, is leaving. Matthias de Ligt, Erik ten Hag says, will leave at the end of the summer. We have to wait and see what happens with that. But that centre-back, 19 years of age, thumps in that header, then shuts down Juve at the other end. He really is top-level stuff.
I think that we've seen him grow exponentially over the last 2-3 years, and 19, he's grown exponentially over 2-3 years. I think the introduction of Deli Blint alongside him has been a huge help, because Blint has just given that maturity and that older. He was mature, and he's basically a young Virgil van Dijk. We said it before, that he has the same qualities as van Dijk. He is unflappable.
He did a piece of defending after he'd scored his first Champions League goal, which was a brilliant towering header, one which Ronaldo would be proud of. He then, Cancelo, put the ball in. And had Juve got one back, they really might have gone on to win it. That they're the sort of team who would. And it would have been a very different challenge for Ajax, knowing that they were one goal away from going out, I think. And he got himself between Moise Kean and Ronaldo and got enough on it for the chance to go, and it was brilliant. He's 19, he's captain, he's very much the leader. Even when Blint came back, he was always going to be captain. And look, this is the Ajax way. There'll be lots of talk, I think, then they're going to lose these players in the summer. This is the Ajax way, they know that. They'll enjoy this evening. And isn't it marvellous that a team can nurture and produce in an era of teams spending hundreds of millions of euros, pounds, whatever you want to call it, that a team can get to the semi-finals, can compete with, mostly anyway, guys that have come through their academy, have grown up together and can produce performances like they are this season.
Ronaldo not in the semi-finals, by the way, for the first time since 2009-10.
That was his first season at Real Madrid, wasn't it, as well, when they went out against Lyon in the round of 16.
They led the game, just couldn't. Once the equaliser went in, it just never looked like happening. It was a bit stodgy and slow.
A little ponderous through midfield. They looked a little toothless. They looked a little devoid of ideas. I don't think that they improved when Moise Kean came on after half-time for Dybala, who'd struggled to get a grip. But it was purely down to the... Miralem Pjanic loves getting the ball and playing those little whip balls in behind and in between the centre-halves. And he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't get on the ball. Yeah. And Matuidi and Emre Can just couldn't get on the ball and break from midfield. So they were restricted to trying to get Ronaldo to do something special. And despite his best efforts, he couldn't do that. Bernadeschi couldn't get in the game. De Cilio and Alexandre normally can get forward. it was just the way that Ajax played him. It was technically a wonderful performance from the visitors.
This will be a hammer blow to a club who, you know, a lot of their players at the start of the season publicly stated, this is the season that we want to win the Champions League. We've had so much heartbreak. They brought in Ronaldo for that very reason. They're going to win Serie A. It's still going to be a successful campaign for them. But some of the old issues that Juventus fans have worried about, I think, did rear their head, that the dynamism in midfield that we saw from Ajax wasn't there with Juventus. That may improve with Aaron Ramsey, who's coming in the summer.
Yeah.
And they missed Chiellini at the back massively, and they missed Mandzukic, because he has been the pivot which has helped Ronaldo play all season long. They went for Dybala ahead of Moise Kean, and it didn't work really, and then Kean didn't quite provide what Mandzukic, because he's a very young guy, to come on at half time and say, well, come on, you've got to lead the line, is difficult. He had a chance, he didn't take it. So Juventus will look, I think, at not having Chiellini and Mandzukic as being a bit unlucky, but Ajax thoroughly deserved it.
Let's hear from their captain, Matthias de Ligt.
Well, the emotions, I think I can describe what kind of emotion we have at the moment. It's unbelievable what we achieved. I think we don't know yet what we achieved, but still there's something to play for. We are never satisfied, and the next game is going to be also important, and then we see what happens.
When you want that guy on your side, Matthias de Ligt speaking very well there after scoring what was the deciding goal of the tie in the end, the second, that thumping header beyond Wojciech Szczesny. It's so difficult, John. We're talking about signing Ronaldo to win this competition. It's so hard to pin your season on this competition, mm-hmm. because we see Paris Saint-Germain do it. We see Bayern, to a sort of extent, do it. We see Manchester City have it a little bit as well. And Juve, it's just too precarious, too much can happen to sort of really hang your season on it, the Champions League.
I think that, you know, all those sides you talk about, particularly Manchester City in England last year, cantered to their league titles, and Juve 17 clear at the moment. You know, have they still got that competitive edge when we get to this stage of the season, to April? The league's wrapped up by February, so can you keep that edge? I always think teams find it difficult. It's why, for me, Bayern haven't won it since 2013. Why Juventus haven't been able to make that final step? Why Manchester City came up short when they went to Liverpool and the team really went for their throat last year? So it you know, this year different for Manchester City, in a real toe-to-toe battle with Liverpool, but for Juventus, they looked a little jaded, they looked a little flat, and they looked devoid of ideas. And it was a shame, because this was their year. Real Madrid have gone, Paris Saint-Germain have gone, yes, Barcelona are through, and Manchester City is still there, and Liverpool are still there, potentially. But this was supposed to be the year.
The only counter-argument I would say about that lack of competitiveness is, apart from PSV, Ajax batter teams week in, week out. You know, they hit six past Excelsior, and yet they still managed to compete.
My argument there, countering that, would say, when you get on a roll in this competition, like Monaco did, and I know I revert to that lead story of 2001, because it was a great story when they did that, you get the train rolling and it's very hard to get knocked off the tracks when you've got a team that's working together and is so young and vibrant and grown up together.
Ajax through to the semi-finals along with Barcelona. Manchester United knocked out tonight. Let's hear from one of their forwards, Jesse Lingard.
We started well, first 15 minutes, created a couple of chances, so, you know, if we'd have put them away, it could have been a different game. Yeah, I mean, you know, chances in these games are crucial, and, you know, like I said, we put one away, you know, the game can change, and, you know, we keep working on it in training, we keep practicing, but, you know, them decisive moments are crucial in these games.
Jesse Lingard speaking there. Let's go to Steve Wilson, who was watching that match tonight. I suppose, Steve, the second Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came in, it was really already thinking about what we're going to be doing next season, because I think they knew they weren't going to really go all the way in the Champions League this year. This is about United building from the summer and beyond.
Well, it was, but then again, they, as we were saying before kickoff, nobody expected them to get anywhere near the top four. So the impact that he had immediately with that run of victories, raised the bar spectacularly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the victory against Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16, unexpectedly, you know, kept United in a competition that, when that draw was made against Paris Saint-Germain, probably, you know, a fair old chunk of United supporters might have thought, oh, well, you know, it ends here. But, of course, it didn't. And so then optimism rises. And actually, I think that they've been... they've had a little dose of reality in the English Premier League over the last few weeks, and certainly against Barcelona today. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has just been giving his reaction to their 3-0 defeat in the Camp Nou.
Well, we're on with the job, and we've spoken to the players about it as well, that we need to get the best out of each other, create an environment of top class attitude, world-class attitude every single day. Because we've got good players, and I know I've got good players to work with. But as I've said, at the moment, we've really, really done well to get to the quarters here. We've really done well to get in the challenge for top four. Got a rebuilding job, but it starts with the coaches, with the players, and then, of course, one or two additions to the squad will happen in the summer.
Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer speaking there after United's elimination from the competition tonight. So Barca and Ajax through. Hope you've enjoyed our coverage tonight. Manchester City Spurs commentary tomorrow, and all the key action from Porto Liverpool from Chris Parrott, Steve Wilson, John Bradley and myself, Rob Daly. It's good night.
Oh, it's a wonderful ball to Jordi Alba. First time plays it back into Coutinho. Coutinho goes for goal! What a strike by Philippe Coutinho! It's absolutely brilliant! Coutinho sends Barcelona into the semi-finals of the Champions League.
De Ligt with a header! Brilliant! Absolutely wonderful Ajax goal! He's met that so well! And Matthijs De Ligt, the 19-year-old captain of Ajax, with a goal worthy of any captain of any side. A marvellous moment for the teenager. A marvellous moment for Ajax. And they're at it yet again, just like in Madrid. Juventus 1, Ajax 2.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.